This Radio Days Africa audio amplified podcast is brought to you by the Wits Radio Academy. For more content and information, click to radiodaysafrica.co.za.
Hello and welcome to Part Meet, which is part of the Radio Days Africa conference today. My name is Elmer Schutz, and if you've never been at a Pod Meet before, it is a room full of people who love podcasting, want to start podcasting, have been podcasting for so long that they have been to every Pod Meet I've ever hosted, which is now officially 5 years. I can't believe I've loved podcasting for that long and much longer, and that you guys have let me chat to you for so long. What PodMeet is a networking project, and if you ever want to reach us to ask for any advice, etc., you can email podmeet@journalism.co.za. That's just the best way to reach us. We do a few meetings a year. We used to hold them in Joburg and Cape Town. Now we just hold them online until we can meet again in person. And really what it is today, as always, it's just a chat with somebody in the industry talking about how they got into it, what they learned, all those kind of cool things, so that you can learn from them. It's always a really good chill time. And as always, we will open up later to questions. If you are joining us on Zoom, you can pop those questions into the Q&A box. Please don't put them into the chat. Put chats into the chat. So if you have anything to say, you can do that in the chat. If you have a question for us to answer, do that in the Q&A. If you are watching on Facebook, or if you want somebody else to join, you can tell them to join on Wits Radio Academy. That's the Facebook page. We'll be live there right now, and then we'll be on YouTube later. Okay, that is some of the admin I have to get through before we get our guest. The other admin, of course, is that as for the last 4 years today, we are hosting a PodMeet again with Radio Days Africa, which is an awesome conference that brings together Africans around the country and around the continent to talk about radio and now podcasting. It's the 12th edition. It's the second virtual one. It is presented by the Wits Radio Academy and the Department of Journalism at Wits. And this year there are over 21 sessions. If you've missed some, you can still catch them on the website or catch them on YouTube later. And there's more to come. There are podcasts. There's a Bespoke podcast series. All that good stuff is online. Okay, I think that is all the admin I have for you. You can relax and don't need to listen to too much of my voice anymore, because I am here with Simi Arif, who is far funnier than I am.
Oh, thanks. What a large amount of admin for something online. It's the largest. I haven't heard such a list of things to do.
And I tried to do it without looking at my papers.
So. Oh, okay. Well, congratulations. You did very well then.
Thank you. This is Simi Arif. If you don't know who he is, he's a South African comedian. He hosts a podcast, Africa's Eighth Best Podcast, even though it's not Africa's Best.
It's actually Africa's like fourth, but who's counting these days? Definitely not the South African Radio Awards. So, I mean...
So it's called Lesser Known Somebodies. He interviews all kinds of cool people, like comedians, musicians, sometimes one of the Zuma family members.
We can just say political figures. Why don't you just say that?
I had to call out somebody. Yeah. And hopefully we'll be joined by one of Simi's colleagues later, because he also is the founder of POC Podcasts, which is a podcast production company. He hosts a bunch of different shows. Yes. And you've been in the game for a long time, Simi. You make it fun. You've made it pretty successfully. And we're going to just have a chat about that.
I mean, thank you, Elna. I mean, I think I came to one of your first pod meets years ago. You remember? Both myself and my friend Dean, who hasn't arrived yet for this very important Zoom call. So maybe he's not so much of my friend anymore. But yeah, I dig Pod Meets because I think even when I did Africa Podfest, or I can never remember the name, but you get to speak to all these different people about podcasts, and everybody has like their own like type of ideas, and I like hearing that type of stuff because there's no formula to this.
Yeah, you know, I thought it would get more formulaic because I remember in those early podcasts, PodMeets saying, you know, the game is open. We don't know yet. We don't know what's going to happen. Just maybe don't try to do this for money. But yeah. Other than that, like, have fun. And obviously there are certain things that have particularly worked.
Yeah.
But it really isn't as formulaic as I thought it would become, and as formulaic as other industries and other podcast industries have become in other countries.
I mean, as a creative, I think that the cool thing is that it's like a tabula rasa. You can paint whichever way you want to, really. And I think that's the cool thing about podcasts. Like, so when I started making podcasts, Lesson on Somebody's wasn't like my first podcast. I used to go to the cricket with my friends and take my the best recording equipment ever made was a Zoom H4. It's the best one ever made. That thing has traveled with me around the world, every cricket stadium I could get into. And I would just interview fans like during the days of the Test match cricket. And then I would pop the stuff online and like nobody would listen to it, maybe like 17 people or so. But I mean, like, that's how I learned, I guess. But I also come from radio, so I knew what audio needed to be done.
Yeah, and yet we also know that a lot of people come from radio, and that doesn't mean they naturally have a brain for podcasts. And,
yeah,
and
it just means they know how to audio archive very well. That's the radio stations have been living on that audio archiving thing. That's their thing, and they think it's a podcast. But I mean, like, hey, kudos to them. They've got more money than me, so they must be doing well. And to be honest, some of my favorite podcasts, like, I don't know if you've listened to Solutionist Thinking with Bruce Whitfield.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's one of the best podcasts ever made, like, hands down.
Really, really great. So, going back to the beginning, maybe not back to cricket days, but to Lesson Known Somebody's, what is the one thing you wish you had known back then? Like, what?
That I don't have to interview people. Man, let me tell you, running a chat-style podcast is probably the most difficult thing ever, unless you're going to do, like, returning guests. Then it's fine. But I wish I found myself a co-host and we just spoke a bunch of different things about different topics. It would have made the recording process so much easier because now you have to find a guest, research a guest, interview the guest. And like South Africa, I always say South Africa has like 3 celebrities in it. And two of them don't even... No, not at all. It's called Lesson on Somebody's for a reason. It's not called This Person Has Made It. But like out of the 3 celebrities, 2 don't even stay here. And Bonang doesn't answer my emails. So, I mean, you have to find interesting people to interview. And you kind of run out. Sometimes I have weeks where I don't have anybody to record with. And sometimes I get lazy in recording. But I'm grateful that I have a dope listening base and some cool engagement and good numbers. And that comes from as an independent podcast. So that's a pretty cool thing. Like, I don't have a backing of a radio station. I don't have large amounts of money to throw into promotion. I don't have any of those things. I have just my recorder, just my microphone, just my editing software, my computer, and I can do whatever I want. And when I started podcasting, that's what I went into. Like, I can tell you the first time, like, I decided to do a podcast properly was when I was doing the cricket stuff, but that was for fun. But I went to the Montreal Comedy Festival, and during the day before the comedy show started, they'd have all like these seminars and stuff. And one day they had a thing called the Comedian's Comedian Podcast with Stuart Goldsmith, who I managed to interview as well. And that's a great episode. Everybody should listen to it. And I was there and he started using the word podcast. And I was like, yo, what is this thing? This podcast sounds great. And then he was interviewing another comedian that I really, really enjoyed. And then I was like, wow, he gets to interview people about comedy. And that's how I initially started. Like, my first couple of episodes are only comedians. And yeah, and I just thoroughly enjoyed it. I still enjoy it to this day. That's why I do it still.
Yeah, but you're talking about having a good listener base.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you how you build that up, because that's always a recurring question. But before you tell me that, what does that mean? Are you willing to give us some numbers?
Yeah, I'll give you all my numbers. I have no problem giving numbers. I don't know why people are so shy to give their numbers. It's not a big thing. Like, I'm not hitting like astronomical Spotify 100 million downloads an episode. No, I'm not. I mean, a POC podcast in a whole, I think we've just crossed over like the 500,000 like listens mark. Now, whether you want to define listens as downloads or downloads as listens, that's up to you. But I mean, 500,000 is a lot. And we have 7 podcasts, 6 or so. So yeah, I mean, like, those are good, good numbers for independent podcast producers. Other people have way bigger numbers than me, but I mean, they have a bigger arsenal than me. We have to, like, at POC Podcasts, I'm not only the co-founder, I'm also the producer. I'm also the person that edits. I'm also the person that graphic designs. I'm also the person that deals with sales. I'm also the person that deals with promotion. So, I mean, I think, like, that's something I'm really, really proud of. That's why I'm not scared to share numbers. And our consumption rates are amazing. Like, I don't think we have a consumption rate. I think my podcast is the lowest consumption rate at, like, 87%. And I think that's actually, when you talk about listener engagement, that's actually the most important number. Whether you have 1,000 downloads on a podcast or like 200, if people are listening for longer, then you're doing something right. And that's actually one of the key reasons of a successful podcast, is that you're doing something right.
And how did you build up that base without a radio station, without... is it just because people came to your show and you...
No. I think I'm also an early adopter. Like, I mean, when I started, I think the only like internet type of audio was Bald Radio with Darren Scott. I think that's defunct now. Cliff Central had just started. And there was things that like Prime Media and other radio stations were doing, but they weren't inherently podcasting. They're like a lot of audio archiving. And then there was me, some silly comedian from Joburg. And so when you're an early adopter, I think the algorithms of the internet really, really help you, specifically in your market. So if I was a South African who did podcasts and I went onto my iTunes and I really didn't see anything until it started giving us regions, and then you could be like, oh, okay, here's a local podcast. And I think I was doing it very often back then. Like, I was dropping an episode once a week. And I think that plays a success, at least. So that's the tip is consistency and keeping the listeners engaged. That's really the only tips you really need.
Yeah, and I think you can take that to heart even if you aren't starting in, you know, 5 years ago. Because even if you start now, you may not be one of the only 4 podcasts in South Africa, but you may be one of the only podcasts talking about, you know,
I think the cool thing about podcasts is because you can make it niche and still find listenership. I mean, we all know that crime podcasts do really, really, really well. But I mean, I think there's maybe like 3 or 4, a handful of like local crime-based podcasts. But I mean, like, there's no like we have in our stable, we have a show called Open Wide Say Ah, which is a sexual health podcast. And that's great because, I mean, the numbers aren't fantastic. Maybe they're about like 400 or 500 downloads an episode. But I think the thing that's cool about it is that it's so niche. I mean, sometimes 702 used to have a show where they used to have like a sex educator on, which is cool. And I remember like years ago, they had another like sexologist on or whatever they call themselves. And I just remember that I just always think that it's such a lovely area to play in, especially with podcasting, mainly because we also have like freedom of speech in this country. Like, I'm doing this interview with you now in Dubai. There's no way I could be able to do a podcast like that here. But I mean, back home, it's cool. And the access to it is actually just the only biggest problem. If you don't have like a phone or a computer, you're going to struggle to get access into that content. But it doesn't mean that that content can't travel globally. And so I think that if you have a podcast idea and it's niche enough, like, you shouldn't be scared. You should just do it.
Yeah. And then stay consistent.
Yeah, stay consistent.
And also, I mean, the one thing that that keeps coming up is that your audience isn't necessarily everyone. If you are doing something about, astronomy, as I know some people do in the PodMe community, then that's not going to be
everyone. People listen to astronomy in the PodMe community? Or maybe I need a bounce from this community.
Astronomy.
Oh, okay, just checking. Not the star sign.
Don't anger our professors, Sammy. But you know, or gardening, you don't have to, there's no point standing next to the street with a sign saying, I have a gardening podcast, but find where gardeners are, because they are the ones who will want to listen.
And I mean, I only promoted, like, at first I promoted to friends, and then I was promoting on my Twitter and my Instagram. That's literally it. But there's a question. Do you think you don't mind if I answer it? It says, it's from Conrad Schwellness. Simi, if someone hasn't listened to your podcast before, what's the one episode that they should start with? I would say I recently did one with Majosi, who's a musician. And the reason why I dig it is because there's enough banter between the two of us. And it's an incredibly long conversation and interview. And I really felt like I had a good flow with it. Compared to, but like the one with the most like downloads at the moment is that one I did with Dudizani Zuma. And the only reason why is that I don't find it an incredible podcast. I just find it sometimes your guests don't give you as much as you want them to give you, even though they're really, really big names. And so like if you had to listen to both of them, you'd enjoy Majosi's one more, because that's what Listen on Somebody's is about bantering with the guests that you have. So I would say listen to that one. Or you could go back in time, and there's a open – I used to do a couple of podcasts live. So I think like out of podcasters in South Africa, I think if I wasn't the first, I definitely was like close by. I used to do live podcasts when I used to do a lot of my stand-up gigs. So I would do one night of comedy, and the next night I'll come and do like a podcast show, which was really, really fun. And there's one that I did was an open line. So anybody from the audience could come on stage and speak to me. And I think it was in Durban at the Durban Heat Comedy Festival. And that was just incredibly funny. There was just a drunk man in the room who just wanted to speak. He just wanted to speak. And I just thought it was easy. So, yeah, you should listen to those.
And what you're talking about people talking to you, is something that you sort of bring into your podcasts, where I really like that part of the podcast where you let your
interviewer. I mean, I would love for it to happen more. Like, I would love to, maybe this is a podcast idea, as a podcast host, and the podcast host gets interviewed every single time by a different guest. I mean, that would be pretty cool. I would listen to that.
It could be an agony aunt.
So I do an agony RF thing on a Thursday on my Instagram, but I haven't tried to put it in a podcast yet. I just feel that my listeners retweet and share and listen to the podcast, but I haven't gotten to a point where they are commenting, and that's where I want to aim at. If I could improve my podcast in any way, that's where I would aim. Compared to like the other podcasts in our stable, so we have one with Aisha Baker called Bake the Podcast, and she's like one of South Africa's most prominent influencers or social media personalities, whatever you want to call yourself. And she gets tons of engagement on her podcast. Like, there are people who be like, oh, Aisha, you taught me so much about being a better mother. I'm like, whoa, I would love someone to listen to my podcast and say, Sim, you taught me so much about being a better mother.
When you say, I don't think you're going to get that comment anytime soon.
Yeah.
But you can keep hoping.
Yeah.
I'm going to introduce Dean in a second, but when you say engagement, just clarify for us, do you mean on social media? Where do you mean?
Both. I mean, of course, we want more listens. I would love for more people to share the podcast, and I would love for more people to talk about the podcast episodes. So, I mean, there's so many things when it comes to engagement that you could focus on. Like, sometimes I would post, when I promote a podcast and I look at the comments below, it's nice to see people talking about like, oh, I dig the last episode, I'm going to listen to this one. But I would love for people to start having a conversation over there, because then I can use that as content. Like, there's, for me, the thing that I love the most about radio was the open line. Like, I love open line. It's because someone phones in with whatever problem, complaint, or passionate plea, and then the host gets to talk about that. I would love to start doing that, like, on a podcast, like extra content or something like that.
I want to introduce Dean. He's been sitting very patiently listening to us.
Can I introduce him? Can I please introduce him?
Okay, don't be rude.
Hello, guys. Welcome to the panel at Radio Days Africa. Use the hashtag RDA2021. And now please welcome my best friend and podcast aficionado of South Africa, Dean Schroeder. Hi, Dean.
Hi, Simi. I'm so sorry for being late. It's amazing how, you know, one Teams call goes into another Zoom call, goes into another Teams call, goes into another set of emails, and then it's 6:30. So sorry for being late, joining the conversation. Nice to see you, Simi, from Durban, right? You're in Durban, right?
Yeah, I'm in Durban. Yeah. I'm in Durban, yeah. Dean. Yeah. That's exactly right. Dean helps us out at PLC Podcast a lot, like whenever we're brainstorming. I'm not even joking when I say it. I think Dean is one of the cleverest people when it comes to podcasting in South Africa, mainly because he understands the podcasting landscape and the radio landscape and the advertising landscape, and he knows all the numbers. So it's like, you guys think that I may have answers. Dean has a ton of answers.
For me, it actually started because I enjoyed listening to podcasts. I actually remember Simi and I are just like really, really good friends, and it must have been almost 10 years ago now, driving down to Cape Town, and Simi said to me, do you want to listen to this thing called The Champs? I'm like, The Champs? He's like, It's a podcast. I'm like, what is a podcast? And 12 hours later, we listened to everything that was available at that point in time. And since then, it was like, you know, just finding the content really engaging, stuff that I didn't find anywhere else. And then at that point in time, I was still working at a creative agency and was about to move over into media owner side. So I was at Prime Media Broadcasting for just shy of 6 years, you know, in the creative solution space, building out from a commercial perspective, you know, what would make for compelling content in terms of podcasting, how to get clients to understand the value of those spaces, but also how to get broadcasters aware that, you know, there is a subtle difference between what is radio, what makes good radio, and what makes good digital audio, and specifically podcasting. And now I'm at a media agency, again, getting a broader sense of like, you know, what the market is looking like, what the numbers look like. And I think the main thing, people would ask, like, how do you turn this into money? Don't worry about that. Get audience first. And then the other thing is, you know, just making people understand that sometimes you don't need to chase the numbers. You just need to be as relevant as possible. And the only way to be as relevant as possible is if you really understand who is listening to your content. So I think, like, from Simi's podcast and like with POC, what we've tried to do is when having conversations with brands and with clients is just to say, we have a good, deep understanding of who the audience is. So if you want to talk to everyone in South Africa, go somewhere else. But if you want to talk to this specific, I used Aisha's example. If you want to speak to young women of color that are young mothers or, you know, in that sort of age bracket, we've got a captive audience that is going to be responsive, that's highly responsive, not only to the content, but also to Aisha as a personality. So it's been like a long journey, and somehow every new job somehow still pulls back into like, oh yeah, The Champs. The Champs was a good podcast.
Yeah, Champs was an excellent podcast. Man, what a cool podcast.
If you haven't listened to it, go and listen to it.
Yeah, also because like it was one of like the first comedy podcasts, so it's absolutely amazing.
I think one December we should do a pod meet where we just have a conversation about what we should listen to. Just have like a listening club. I have so many questions for both of you, but so does Nonkhandra Kumalo. She asks, and this goes to your point, Dean, about radio and podcasts and the interaction between the two. She says, people say that podcasting is not radio, but I want to know what radio skill do you use most when you podcast?
Editing, audio editing. That's the ultimate. I mean, you know, there's a saying in golf, like putting is half the game. Editing is half the game in podcasting. It's as simple as that. Like if you're really good at editing, like you are willing to sit down and learn what to do and learn all the tricks and stuff, you can always produce a really good podcast. You could take something that has kind of bad audio and make it into good audio. You can space things out. You can create drama and atmosphere. And you only learn that by editing audio. And that's the one skill I took from radio and use in podcast every single time I have a podcast. Every single time. And not just my podcast, everybody's podcast.
I don't think everyone on... So I absolutely agree with you. I think editing is one of the skills that in South Africa sometimes is underappreciated in the podcasting community. Mm. But I don't think that everybody in radio knows how to edit either.
So you've been in radio, Elna, so you'll know that there's a program manager, and so you'll have producers and you have on-air talent. Speaking really isn't the main thing. I've heard people that aren't good on radio have great podcasts. So, like, you can't tell me that the skill of talking is the most important skill. I don't think the skill of talking is the most important piece of skill. I think being able to get your point across in a good way, but having good audio, man, how many times I switch off if somebody's audio is bad.
Yeah. But you can also outsource that. We mustn't forget.
Yeah, but the question was what radio skill you use the most when you podcast. It wasn't like what skill do you outsource?
Announcing a Justin Bieber song is not an important skill for a podcast?
No, not at all.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah. I'm just saying to the PodMeet community, if you don't have 40 hours to learn podcast editing, it is something you can outsource. I agree you're answering the question. But
if I can also just add into that, because sometimes I think certain skills, like editing, for example, are often seen at the point of, I want to say perfection, right? So for example, let's take the Daily New York Times as an example. You listen to it and you're like, damn, that's brilliant. Like the scoring is amazing. The editing is on point. The host is immaculate. Everything is fantastic. And then you go, I would really like to do a daily news podcast. I love that podcast. It seems insurmountable to get there. But now they're like 10 years in. They've got millions of dollars. They've got a staff of like 25 people working on that. They've got 5 people working on just like audio, like the pure audio, the sound, let alone the producers, let alone the editors. So I think, what happened, like I've been listening to Simi's podcast from the beginning. The editing starts somewhere. You have to start somewhere. If it's as simple as taking out the ums and the ahs or the stupid rambling question or answer that you went on about, take that out. As you get used to editing, the more you edit, the better you'll get at editing. So if you listen to Listener and Somebody's episode 1 versus episode, 100, whatever it is on now, and if you try and listen to it with a critical ear in terms of editing, you will notice a fundamental difference. So learn the skills. The best way to learn the skills is to do the thing. Start and try, and you'll see very quickly you'll start improving. And before long, you'll be like, oh my goodness, my first work was horrible.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I think the wonderful and the tough thing about an industry that is still starting up and that has so many people who are starting up in it is that we don't have the luxury of being in those teams. I've worked on teams like the one you meant, I haven't worked for the Daily, but I have worked on teams like that before. Mm. And it is amazing if all you get to do today is this one skill. But in South Africa, you won't be able to do that now. If you launch a podcast like Simi has, you will be doing a little bit of everything, most likely.
I don't understand. I don't see the problem there. So are you telling me there's people out there that want to make a podcast, but they want to outsource everything? Those people aren't people. They're brands. That's what they are. They're brands. They want to let me find a good broadcast voice. There's a very popular water tank company that made a podcast where they had like 2 really good voices, incredible editing. They outsourced everything. But if you're asking a normal podcaster, someone that maybe they don't have radio experience, so they've never been in radio and they want to start a podcast, first they have to be able to record and then they have to be able to edit. And I guess the third part is being able to upload and stuff, but you can work that out. But all of these things are highly YouTubeable and Googleable.
I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Don't misquote me here on my own podcast.
I'm just saying that if people are complaining about that, then I'm just like, maybe.
No, but it's going back to the question of like the transferable skill. So if podcast isn't radio, what is a transferable skill? Editing is one, understanding what, just like how to hold a conversation, how to move a conversation forward, as I am so swiftly doing right now. is like important and transferable skills from radio, whether it's more specifically the talk radio format than the music format. But there is I saw this, Wayne asked a question as well, and maybe it goes to your point, Simi, like the importance of editing. So he's saying like, he'll record it once with no editing, and isn't the goal to have a near live show as possible.
My personal perspective, there's
two different types of like podcasts. You can do a Joe Rogan live conversation and talk for 17 hours. Or you could do something tighter and shorter. It all depends on like what you want to do. And like I prefer like tighter things. But some people love like
I just want
to Spotify loves Joe Rogan enough to pay him so much money for it.
So much money. I mean, because Wayne's at the whole context of what Wayne's saying. My background is radio, and do my podcast shows in one take and don't edit. Why would editing be half the skills? Isn't the goal to do it as near to live a show as possible? I don't think that's the goal. I mean, maybe Wayne, and maybe your goal, my friend. It really may be. But I mean, like, I want people to listen to my stuff for years. If you go listen to my first episode and my latest episode, the only thing that's different is that one is recorded in like 2016 and the latest one is recorded in 2021. And so maybe you'll hear a change of my tone in voice, maybe hear me be a better broadcaster. But I mean, that conversation that I had with Jason Goliath on episode one is still really, really good compared to my latest episode, which is with Waylene Bucus.
Yes. Which is, you know, the magic of podcasting, that it can be that evergreen, slight minor change. But I hear what you guys are saying. I just want to make the point that as wonderful on the one side, what you're saying is that as podcasters in South Africa, we get to learn all of these skills, which I think is amazing. And it's something I built my career on and I'm sure you have too. On the other hand, if you are, especially if you're doing this as a side project or, you know, you have a day job, it is good to know going into podcasting as a hobbyist that there are lots of aspects to it that you're going to have to learn and put the effort in. That is all I meant. The challenge of that, whereas I know that the internationally often you might outsource some of those things, whereas here you're going to have to put in the effort to learn.
Yeah, I don't know why people are so upset about this editing thing. Guys, there's more people that work behind the scenes than there are on the microphone. So, I mean, that kind of gives you the answer. So I don't know why, like, oh, what do you mean editing? I said, someone asked about what radio skill you use. Editing. There we go. And it's like, if you don't want to edit your podcast, don't edit your podcast. Who am I?
So let's pivot to another topic, bringing you in, Dean. Working on more of the business side, working with various clients, seeing what the podcast industry can be. Give us some of your insights. Where do you see the industry in South Africa right now, and where do you see the opportunities and gaps? Give us your
full take. So first, I think it's very important to play in reality. And I think oftentimes you get very distracted by the Joe Rogans and the dailies and all of those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes the urge to become a podcaster might start no one's doing it purely for fun. I think as you get into it, there's this opportunity to build audience, monetize that audience, and become rich and famous. We'd all love that. But the touch of reality is very important. And if you're comfortable with the reality, then you can take it from there. So the reality is globally, like 1% of podcasts make any revenue. And it's only like the 0.001% of that make lots of money. And unfortunately, all of those tend to be in the United States because it is the biggest podcast audience, right? Mm-hmm. Now, let me talk from a media owner perspective, and then maybe from a media owner perspective, right? So like I was at Prime Media Broadcasting. The challenge there is to obviously diversify the business offering. Business is already in audio, so then growing up a podcast offering would obviously make sense. The challenge there was, finding the right groups of people that have those transferable skills that you can move from radio into podcasting. So that's a difficult thing because you tend to be quite set and comfortable in what you do, right? So you could ask you could have the best editors that create the best promos for your competitions and stuff to edit a podcast, but it's not going to necessarily sound like a podcast. It might be too loud. It might be too intense. It might have too much music. So that was a challenge, but with persistence, determination, and a touch of stubbornness, we pushed through and we found ways to make sure that content made sense. And you also just leverage off of the people that are passionate about it. Finding people that are really keen to say, yeah, I'll work a little bit extra today because I really like this podcast idea. I want to take it further. And also, you know, in those environments, you know, really fostering a sense that, you know, great ideas can come from anywhere. Oftentimes, especially in the radio broadcasting space, it only comes from a core group of people. But the reality is you might be good at radio, but you don't have any idea what a good narrative story might be in a podcasting environment. So find those people that are passionate and have great stories, help them, encourage them, motivate them. Now, the other side is how does this become useful or valuable to advertisers and clients? Now, remember, 1% of podcasts make money. The reality is advertisers will not care about the product unless there is a captive audience there. And when I say captive, it needs to be at scale as well. So, for example, if somebody came to me in my day job and said, I've got this podcast, 100 people listen to it every day. I release a new, 100 people listen to each episode. I release an episode once a month. I'll be, okay, cool. I mean, as an advertiser, I wouldn't even pay 100 Rand to do it because it's more effort to get that done than the actual return on investment for the advertiser. So if you are looking into podcasting to turn it into some sort of monetary business kind of thing, there's two ways to kind of do it. Either you can be like Simi's kind of done both, but we'll focus on the original one. Lesser known somebody's started having great conversations. Simi is well known in his spaces. He interviews people that are well known in their spaces. So that cumulative reach between each guest and Simi every single time helps build audience. So over time, Lesser Known Somebody's has a significant audience, but that does take months, if not years. If you're willing to do that, cool. That's when you really are a passionate podcaster. Then you start demonstrating to clients, I've got this podcast, this is the story, this is the show, these are all my great guests, these are the great numbers, let's do some work together. They'll be, okay, great. The shorter, more attainable and easier route, and this is where internationally and locally there seems to be the monetization opportunity, is operating as, like a branded content house or place where you can produce branded content on behalf of advertisers and clients. So if, let's say, Currycraft wanted to do a podcast about their great furniture and how it's all handmade and all of that stuff, they won't have the skills to do it. They won't have the resources to do it. But hey, Simi, you've got a podcast company. You've got the resources. You've got the skills. You've got the ideas. We'll pay you some money to do it, provided you can give us the content. So when I was at Prime Media Broadcasting, the opportunity to create branded content series was definitely the most surefire route to turning podcast into actual revenue. Far more than what was happening in, you know, selling podcast ads or just sponsoring podcasts. So in terms of like trends, where we're going, it's interesting. So there's this study, the Infinite Dial study that was done by the IAB, and South Africa was involved in it 2018, 2019. Unfortunately, we haven't been part of it again. But the most important number was like the country with the highest podcast awareness is actually Australia. Third is the United States. Like, I don't know, way down the ladder is South Africa. But South Africa was sitting at a 23-25% awareness of podcasts, which seems really low. And like from an advertiser perspective, you're like, oh, that's really, really low. But when we index that data against sort of Prime Media's audience, which is sort of your higher LSM bracket, access to internet and in the key metropole areas, we saw that podcast awareness was sitting closer to 70%. So podcast awareness is going to keep growing if you are focused on mass reach. Podcasts, it's not going to do it, not for a very long time. In South Africa, it's only going to happen when there's more relevant content that actually connects with more people in the languages that they speak. Mm-hmm. sharing stories that sound like them, look like them, and relate to them. But in your higher LSMs, I think what's going to happen is there going to be more and more content. The content is going to get better because competition for sort of your ear, you know, time spent listening is going to increase because now radio is going to be competing against Spotify, is going to be competing against Listener and Somebody's and every other podcast. So that's where the quality of the product does become very, very important as we get more and more listening opportunities. And actually goes back to your point, Samir, about editing being an important skill. If there are 1 million podcasts, I think there are like 1 million available on Apple Podcasts at the moment. Yeah. No one is listening to 99% of it.
I can tell you from experience, though, when someone emails me, like I love listening to podcasts, and I love when people send me podcasts of theirs, where it's like, can you give me any guidance? Because I'm always looking for content. Like, we are always looking to add shows at POC Podcasts. Like, we always. And I will always get maybe 8 or 9 in a month.
The audio is bad. 2 minutes. Give me 2 minutes.
I'm done. I won't listen to that thing. It's just because I like, unless it's really, really captivating content, because then I know, like, if I get these guys in the studio, I can make them better. And the good example of that was we have a show called Bicycle Brasa, which is 2 guys from Cape Town who come from the color community and they use slang and stuff and they do movie reviews. And their audio was shocking, but their content was amazing. So I sent them my old H4N, Zoom H4N, shout out Zoom. You guys do the work. And now their content is better. If your audio is not good, people aren't going to stay listening for long. On top of that, Dean is 100% correct about having podcasts in local languages that represent tons of people. And that's what we've started doing at POC Podcast. We started because I dig podcasting and I just thought there's such a gap in the market that local podcasts weren't around, and not enough of them at least. And I was just like, yo, there's so many minority voices or diverse voices that may not necessarily have a platform. And we started providing platforms to these people that have really, really cool African stories because, I mean, there aren't many of us. But now I'm trying to get into Afrikaans spaces, Zulu spaces, Pedi spaces, because I do believe that those people will listen to a podcast if the podcast is good, because I can bring the utensils. I can bring good audio, great artwork, some decent amount of promotion. And I think the content can travel. So, yeah.
To your earlier point, I think it's that thing of just because there's a low barrier to entry doesn't mean that you should stay low.
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it.
Just because anybody can make a podcast, yeah. I can make a movie on my cell phone now doesn't mean New Metro is going to stream us. So just because you can make a podcast.
Because I was just actually just sorry to interrupt your train of thought. It's just like, because you know, there are all those memes about like if your voice note, your WhatsApp voice note is longer than a certain amount of time, like make it a podcast.
Yeah.
But it's done in like a very like facetious way, because I can guarantee you if anyone that's listening right now got a voice note longer than 30 minutes, they wouldn't listen to the whole thing.
Yeah, they wouldn't.
And if you could just cut it down, edit it, it might actually be a lot better.
And this is the beauty of, we've been talking a lot about, the symbiosis of radio and podcasting. And for me, when I work with my podcasting clients, I so often say, you know, you have the power to not make it perfect, but to clean it up a lot. So you should. If you stumbled, if you if you odd, if you said something dumb, if you... I had a client recently who at the end of the podcast suddenly asked an excellent question, and we faked it. We put it in earlier into the podcast because that's where it belonged in the conversation. I felt that was authentic.
You speak about this thing I think people call editing. Wow.
It's going to be outside for the rest of the conversation.
What a fascinating thing.
I just want to remind everyone that if you are watching, you can ask questions. We still have about 10 minutes left. What do you want to know from Dean and Sammy about what they learned? Maybe you have a personal question about your podcast that you're starting.
Hey, I thought when you said personal question, I thought people could ask about my love life. I was like, hey, my man, I didn't sign up for this. Now all of a sudden, like, hey, so tell me, what's going on? Are you married yet? I don't want those questions. Just ask me podcast questions.
Yeah, well, that depends how many of your aunts and uncles you invited to watch this.
All of them. Dory van Lochenberg, that's my aunt. So I'll give you some stuff that we're doing at POC Podcast, and maybe people want to speak about that. So like Dean said, monetization, incredibly important thing in podcasting. Everybody's asking that question. And Apple have provided a platform now where you can be able to monetize your podcast by starting a channel. So we're in the process of starting a channel.
Can we just explain that means that the person listening would be paying?
Yeah. So the person that listens, if they want, and it's so adaptable, like across the board. So if you, I would listen on somebody's, my five best episodes will, this is just as an example, guys. My five best episodes would be for free. But if you want to listen to the archive and the latest stuff, it's behind a paywall and you'll have to pay. Now, people are going, okay, so it won't be available on Spotify. Yeah, it won't be available on Spotify until Spotify has something similar, which they are. Like a few months from now, they're going to launch it. It's already like in testing in the U.S. They've done it to a couple of shows already. It's going to happen. And what this does is that it gives creators the ability to earn, and it may not be tons of money. It may not be tons of money. But let me tell you, if I had an extra 3,000 Rand in a month, that's just 30 people listening at 100 Rand. That would pay for someone to edit. And like I said, editing is 50% of the game. That means
you save some
time. Yeah. In fact, this whole part of me is about why editing is important. Editing, 50% of the game. So there are ways to make money. I think one of the ways that we experimented earlier on, especially during the pandemic, is that we approach different brands and stuff. And what we would also do is that sometimes we'd strike a deal where we're just like, we'll promote you for free just so another advertiser can hear and then they could also come back in. So I've done this successfully, and now like I'm speaking to a big motoring company and a massive, massive like retail and food company. And that's because they heard an advert play on one of the podcasts and they're just like, oh, well, clearly this is something that we should be adventuring into. But yeah, so there are ways to make money, but hey, if you make tons of it, actually, if you want to make money, grant funding, not funding from a guy called Grant, but grant funding.
Before you go on, this is actually the question I was going to ask you to talk to some. It's like, because the way to make money, funding or the other ways, which has led to a very, very specific content landscape in South Africa, which I think POC actually sits very outside of that. So maybe you can talk to that because I know you have your feels about it.
Sorry, I just missed part of the question because I moved my chair and knocked my microphone. So if you can just say the last two sentences.
Yeah, no, just because grant funding is such like a big part of how people turn podcasts into money, it's led to a very specific landscape of content stories, specifically in Africa, and how POC actually sits outside of that. Yeah. And, you know, your feelings about the grants and the content that...
So I know most of the people that have got grant funding, you know, and there's various ways of getting grant funding. There's different places you can apply to. But like, for example, I applied to SAMIV, the South African Media Innovation Program. And they do excellent work. Like, I'm sure Elna must have had tons of people speak about Volume. Volume is really, really cool. They do some really cool work. They've got probably the best, like, name I've ever heard of a podcast, What's the Crap on WhatsApp. Great name. Wish I thought of that idea. But like, so people have access to funding, and that's how you can make podcasts for a longer period of time instead of just being inconsistent and be like, I don't have any money for this thing, so I'm not going to do it anymore, or I'm not earning anything.
Can I just say, it's also, if you get one of those grants, I've seen some beautiful ideas that I don't think would have started without grant funding.
True.
Artists doing like really experimental, like multi-layered things that you're not going to do.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at Volume, they've done wonderful work, like really, 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 really good work. Like, I dig it. But I applied and I didn't get funding because I don't sit in a space where I'm doing newsy type of stuff all the time. We have one podcast that is like a news podcast called Pod of the Press. Great name, Simi. Thank you. And I mean, like, that's it. Most of our stuff is lifestyle and entertainment. So I don't see someone saying, yo, here's $150,000. Go have fun, boo-boo. And like, it doesn't work like that. So I have to focus on other ways of earning money. But one of the main reasons why I'm in Dubai is because they have a big media innovation hub here. In Sharjah, there's a place where they'll give money to great media innovations. Of course, they'll take a percentage, whatever. But that's one of the ways that I need to generate some form of income so the company can survive. Instead, it's between that or jumping on stage every single night and doing stand-up comedy and somehow funding my small company.
So I think also too that system, like the African context as well. Like, I don't know if it's like Africa's. There's all of these heavy stories to unpack across the African continent that tend to almost pull at the heartstrings up, pull at the heartstrings slash the purse strings of international grant funds. You know, from the likes of Google or whatever else it might be, which has led to like some of the most prominent sort of African podcasts being in a little bit more of a humanitarian kind of heavier space. Where I think, you know, though those stories are fundamentally important and they should be shared and they should have the support and whatever support we can give them, they should get. But, you know, in terms of the lifestyle entertainment side, that is fundamentally where the growth and opportunity and audiences will be. DSTV wouldn't be DSTV if they were only showing documentaries about the Holocaust, you know. There is the importance of lifestyle content, entertainment content, funny content. You know, it's interesting, though, that, like, comedy tends to index highly across Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Deezer, whatever the platform might be. And yet, when you look at the landscape in South Africa and you know, how many comedy podcasts are there? I think there might be like 4 or 5 at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, I think it can
guys, be. I'm so sorry, Simi, to cut you off, but I am aware of timing.
Yeah, we've got 6 minutes and I can see both the questions. Hold on, Elna. I'll get to both of these questions. I'm good at what I do, girl. Calm down.
I'm gonna segue
into this thing for you. Don't worry. You're gonna wrap it up wonderfully. Absolutely wonderfully. Dean, what I wanted to say,
You
invited the wrong person then. You invited the wrong person, girl. You should have known. You should have listened to a few episodes. You should be like, you know what? This guy is boisterous. I just wanted to say I used to have a running joke that if you have a journalist, you have a good 10-part documentary podcast series waiting, like any journalist. You could find it. But now to get into the questions. First, Nancy Richards says, editing is important, but so is packaging. The music, the intro, the graphics, any thoughts? You are 100% right, Nancy. So I've been working with Apple over here while I've been in Dubai. And they literally gave me a phone call last week to say, who does your graphics? Because we want to know how much you're paying them. And we just want to know how they know that it helps with the algorithm. The packaging is great. So our artwork, we put our there's a thought process behind it, and it works. So artwork is incredibly important because it's one of the few ways visually you can capture someone. Intro music, some of our podcasts have intros. Some of them don't necessarily. Some of them have a cold intro and then go into like a bit of a bait clip and then into the interview. And then maybe there's like some cool bed music in between that or before that. I have an intro. And Dean and I used to have tons of arguments about this because my intro is 42 seconds long. And like sometimes people don't listen to the first 42 seconds because they're just like, this thing is too long, but it's a funny intro. So my thoughts on that, Nancy, highly important, very important. And there's a lot of free tools you can get like royalty free music and make intros. And let me tell you the answer to all of these things. Get a good freelancer. Download Fiverr. There are so many people willing to offer skills for like $5. $5 is...
I had just a point to that as well, Simi. I think, you know, from a branding perspective, we always think of branding in the sense of what is visual. So what does the logo look like? What is the color of Standard Bank? You know, like that kind of stuff. But every single sense can be an opportunity for branding.
Yeah.
So if you have a distinctive sound, hold on to it, use it, build it consistently. Like, I mean, you know, like even certain stores have a specific odor that they put into the store that it reminds you every single time. So the packaging is fundamentally important, but don't just see it as so that it sounds nice. see it as an opportunity to build your brand in the audio space.
Yeah. And then Daniel said, we need a longer version of this. Daniel, I'm here all night, my man. I've got a computer and internet. You can get me at simi@pocpods.com. I'm available to talk. Only Elna is rushing out of here. I don't know what she has to do at 9 p.m. at 7 p.m. I don't know what she has to eat. I don't know what's going on, but she definitely wants to leave. And then Nancy.
So, they say it's in around the boardroom. Don't worry, we'll take this offline.
Yeah, we'll take this offline. Take this offline. Yeah. Nancy Richards again says.
Come here, entrepreneur, and be slandering me. You're no, never getting invited.
Elna, I'm getting you back. I'm getting you back because when I attended a pod meet once, I once heard someone say, hey, radio is dead. And then I sat there going, that is a big lie. And Dean's like, nope, big lie, very big lie. So Nancy Richards has asked again, is there room for niche podcasts? I think we spoke about it earlier on. The answer is yes, very much so. Internet is big, so niche is kind of not niche anymore. Health, education, etc. instead of entertainment. Yeah, there's tons of health podcasts and education podcasts. We are trying to do, Dean and I, another thing we speak about all the time is like getting past papers and getting, and or like working with like a university and like helping people like listen to it. And maybe there's no market for it, but maybe there's 100 kids that really need help on maths paper too, you know? So yeah, I think all those things, all those ideas can work. They really can work. Ah, why did you take the question away? I was going to read the last bit of it. And you're a handsome person. Thank you so much, Nancy.
I don't think that's what Nancy said. We are unfortunately running out of time because we only have the session.
We've got a minute and 30 seconds left, girl.
Yes. Now listen to me. You guys are like, oh, fantastic. Simi, Dean, thank you so much for joining us. Where can people find you and what should they find you for?
Dean, you can go first because your CV is a lot smaller than mine. So you can go ahead.
If you can find me on the internet, my name is Dween. Then you'll be able to find me on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and whatever you need to. But find Simi. He produces content. I work behind a computer most of the time.
So you can find my podcast company, POC Pods, at www.pocpods.com. You can email me anytime. That's simi@pocpods.com. You can find me on Instagram, which is Simi Arif, Twitter, Simi Arif, Yahoo, Simi Arif, Tinder, Simi Arif. You can find me everywhere. If you have any podcasts specifically in languages, hit me up. I could give you money. And Elna, I just want to say thank you so much for inviting me onto this thing. Generally, I have to pay for a ticket to Radio Africa Days, or I have to sneak into the venue. But thank you so much.
Okay. Let's hope I decide to invite you again. Everyone, podmeet@journalism.co is where you can reach us so that you get invited again. Thank you so much, and thank you to Radio Days Africa. You can't cut me off yet because I have to read the sponsors. Very important. Radio Days Africa is sponsored by the Conrad Adenauer Different Media Program. We spoke about grants earlier. The section in Sub-Saharan Africa who have been a long-term partner and sponsor, and without their support, Radio Days Africa definitely couldn't be possible. We are also supported by the National Association of Broadcasters, Media Heads 360, Wise Buddha Jingles, the US Embassy in Pretoria, RCS Sound Software, Iona.fm, which are also a PodMeet partner, Samro and PodNews.net. Thank you, everyone,
sponsored by Zambak, so shout out to me.
The real Makoya.
Thank you for joining. If you joined this meeting and you are not on the PodMeet email list, please make sure you email podmeet@journalism.co.za to be on the next list. Thank you, Simi and Dean. Thank you, Adia. And I'll see you on the next one.
That was the Radio Days Africa Audio Amplified Podcast, brought to you by the Wits Radio Academy. For more information and podcasts, click to radiodaysafrica.co.za.